Blue Wire.
Three on the way! Yes! Paul George nails it!
For the win!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next edition, although that wouldn't be too bad. The next edition of the B-Ball Index podcast. I am your host for the day, Krangis McBasketball. Friends know me as Tim, and today we've got a friend from NBA Twitter joining us, Kosta Medvedovsky, who you may know as the creator of Darko, Daily Adjusted and Regressed Kalman Optimized Projections. He's on with us today, and I have a million questions. I think there have been so many interesting things happening this year on Twitter, with new stats, different things with the NBA and college basketball, but probably one of my favorite, if not favorite, new things that's popped up is Darko. So super excited to have the creator on here with us. Kosta, how you doing?
Good. Happy to be on.
Yeah, So in researching your background and talking to you before the pod, you are a lawyer. How does a lawyer, does your law relate at all to a lot of math? Or how did you go from that profession into getting into the NBA Twitter game and some of these really cool statistical projections that you've put together?
Yeah, so I do antitrust law, which is pretty heavily economic focused. I actually spend a lot of my time at work just dealing with economists. We put together a lot of statistical analyses and presentations related to them. So a lot of my day to day work is actually pretty heavily analytical. Transitioning into doing stats work outside of that was a pretty natural fit for me.
Nice. And so getting into that stats work, I'd like just to start with a very basic introduction on what Darko is, how you really got the idea for it, and what is it telling us? How should people read these projections that are spit out? And I know there are different ways to look at it, and we have visualizations now with some of Andrew Patton's great work. Just give us, step one is figuring out what is it and what can we know from it?
Yeah, so Darko at the core, like you said, it's a projection system. It's for those who've heard of Picota or Zips or Steamer from baseball, it's similar to that. It projects basketball box score statistics. It tells you, we think Brandon Ingram is a 37% three-point shooter. And it updates that projection for each player with every day of the season. And it does that on the fly, responding to new information as it comes in. So that's in contrast to some other projection systems, which are out there, which update in the off season. And they tell you, all right, we expect Ingram to shoot, 31%. But then we're, 3 months into the season, Ingram is shooting 40%. And you're sort of left in the lurch to figure out, well, what do we expect to do going forward? Mm-hmm. So Darko's sort of an attempt to answer that question.
That's really interesting. And one of the things behind it that I really like is that it's not based off of any arbitrary beginning and end points. Like I know over at B-Ball Index, we've tried to put together these talent grades, and they'll be one season at a time, and the seasons will have different numbers of minutes, but we're really just looking at individual chunks instead of this continuous flow throughout a player's career, whereas Darko's looking game by game and adjusting based off of each additional game. And at the beginning of the season, you don't start from zero. So I think that's something that's really cool. And just pulling it up now and looking through, you can see, like you mentioned, Brandon Ingram at the beginning of his career was probably around 30% projected three-point shooting. And that's really skyrocketed this season, which is really cool to see. And a lot of times we'll be watching games, and over a week or two, somebody might have a hot shooting streak, and you try to figure out, it's the beginning of the year, the end of the year. Is this just some interesting sequencing, or is somebody really improving or getting worse? So I think Darko is such a interesting way to look at their full repertoire. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's looking at the history of players going back, I don't know how many years, and understanding that when somebody has a game like Brandon Ingram has yesterday or tomorrow, here's how we would expect it to impact the projections moving forward.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Darko is trained on data from the play-by-play era, which goes back to 1998. That's as far back as we have real possession counts. And so it looks historically. Yeah, what do we, if a player with Ingram's history, goes through 10 games and he's shooting 45% from three, what does that tell us going forward? What are they likely to do going forward?
And if somebody starts off as a 40% three-point shooter from the very beginning of their career, will Darko trust that? Or like, how long would it take for somebody to, like, let's say Zion Williamson, his career starts the day we're recording this podcast. If he comes out of the gates shooting 40% or 20%, how quickly will Darko buy into that? Or does it kind of start towards some average and then over time move up or down?
So Darko right now doesn't have any NCAA or summer league or preseason data. So it starts out, Zion starts out right now with a very bad projection. He essentially comes in with the same projection as any player in the league. But it will learn pretty quickly, depending on how he does. The specifics of how quickly it'll learn will depend both on how much he plays and does he take a lot of if we're talking about 3-point shooting, does he take a lot of 3-point attempts? Darko weighs sample size, so it cares more about larger samples, obviously, as well as a few other factors, which we can get into. But Darko, it models each player's stats, not just in reference to how you've done in that stat. So if we're talking 3-point percentage, it looks at how you're doing in your other metrics. So it's aware that, for instance, free throw percentage is a good predictor of 3-point percentage. So if Zion comes out of the gate as a shockingly good free throw shooter, it's going to be more credulous of his 3-point shooting than it would be otherwise.
That's really interesting. So if we have two players both shooting 39% from three, but one of them has an 80% free throw percentage and the other ones in the high 60s, Darko would treat their projected 3-point percentage very differently is what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And so again, sticking with Ingram is a great example of this because he's had, I was looking at this earlier. I'm not totally done, but I believe he's had the single greatest free throw percentage improvement that Darko's ever tracked in 2.5 months. He's gone from being a below average shooter to now legitimately he looks like one of the better free throw shooters when you consider volume in the league. And he's done that in concert with improving his 3-point shooting. And so as a result, Darko is very credulous of both. It doesn't really see this as a small sample size fluke. It thinks there's something very real happening here.
Wow. That's really interesting. And it's so neat that we can look at those two factors and predict one or both of them moving forward. So threes and free throws make sense as being a pair. Are there any other of those box score stats that have some sort of, dependence or we care about, rebounding and block shots to project rebounding? Are there any other relationships like that that are fairly strong that stand out to you?
There are a handful of others, like you said, with rebounding, the rebounding and blocks one is a good example. If you get a lot of blocks, that bodes well for your rebounding. That effect is probably weaker. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that's a weaker effect than the free throw and 3-point percentage, effect. But Darko is a machine learning driven model, meaning it sort of figures out all of these relationships on its own. I've given it a lot of leeway in terms of the model construction to find the relationships between statistics. I'm not telling it, oh, let's go take a look at what the relationship is between free throw shooting and three-point shooting. I'm telling it to look at the relationship between every stat and every other stat. And then, you know, I'm doing cross-validation, you know, to make sure it's not just picking up spurious relationships. But I'm giving it a lot of leeway for where to look for these sorts of cross-stat interactions.
That's really interesting. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with machine learning or some of the math that you're using, Kalman optimized projections. What would you say in layman's terms is the approach to taking all of those inputs and figuring out what the projections would be?
Yeah, so you know, taking a step back, the core of Darko is essentially an exponential decay function. I'm not going to go too math heavy. We're not going to know deep equations, but there's an exponential decay function in the form of x to the power of days ago. And that's the weighting that Darko gives to all your previous performance. And so X is some number between 0 and 1. So for take a player, let's say with a long history of LeBron James, you know, his career began something like 7,000 days ago. So for if with a value of X of 0.99999, to the power of, you know, 7,000 days ago, that's weighting his early career very, very heavily. It's saying, you know, his older performance is essentially as valuable in projecting his future performance as his performance yesterday. Whereas with a lower value of X, if you sort of think of X as, let's say X is 0.5, 0.5 to the power of 7,000 is essentially zero. And so with an X of 0.5, you get a scenario where LeBron's, you know, career rookie year essentially has no value in projecting his future performance. So, you know, we talked a little bit about how Darko doesn't have any arbitrary endpoints. It's that equation that allows it to not have any arbitrary endpoints and consider a player's entire career in the sort of smooth curve, where, you know, yesterday's performance gets more weight than the performance 2 days ago, and more weight than a performance 100 days ago. And there's a smooth relationship between each day that way. And then, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into calculating what X is in that formula. But that's really the core of what's driving the Darko projections.
Wow, that's really neat stuff. And I guess just off the top of your head, do you know how far back the farthest decay will look to generate some sort of indicator for how good a player will be at something? Like, do we only really go back 150 games at most, 200 games, 300 games?
Oh, no. For something like three-point shooting, the decay considers every game a player has ever played. But effectively, if that X variable that you know I described is low enough, you can essentially throw out the old data. You know, it's still technically part of the weighting, but it's so weighted so low that it doesn't really matter. But so for something like 3-point shooting, that X value does end up being very high. It's, I don't know off the top of my head, it's like 0.9998. So pretty close. You know, the games like in 10 years ago in your career still get like 50% weighting relative to a game yesterday.
So does that result in a guy like Brook Lopez, who's more recently become a three-point shooting threat, is he held down in a way based off of what he did years ago? Or will Darko recognize, wow, this guy went from almost no attempts and a low percentage to a very prolific shooter, and thus is realizing that instead of somebody being poor at something and then it gradually improving, it was a more drastic use of frequency and ability?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So Darko also sees that his attempts have spiked up, which by itself is a good predictor of that you're going to be a good shooter. Even if you're there's a couple guys out there this season who started out the year shooting a ton of attempts, never hitting them, but Darko just kept expecting them to improve. Marcus Smart comes to mind that way a couple of years ago, where he just kept chucking it up, hitting 30%, but I went back and looked, and Darko just kept expecting it to improve because it just didn't believe that a player would shoot this much and not improve as a shooter.
That's really interesting.
Wow. So, but yeah, so with Brook Lopez, like you said, he started out with a low percentage, but at low volume. As his volume has spiked, that the new volume just totally overwhelms the old sample. So the old sample, even though it's still in the data, it just has very little weight at this point, just because there's not many attempts to back up, those games from eight 9 years ago for him.
That's really interesting. We've talked about three-point shooting already. Who would you say, based off of what Darko's believing, who are some of the biggest risers or fallers specific to three-point percentage that maybe somebody should believe their shooting is real, or maybe their shooting isn't real? I know I remember Andrew Wiggins had seen a really big spike in performance. Brandon Ingram, we already talked about. I know Markelle Fultz is playing quite a bit differently now. Who have been some of the players that have stood out for in a positive or negative way in those projections this year?
So overall, the biggest risers, this is not just limited actually to 3-point shooting. This is sort of overall, sort of rolling up every metric into an SP, statistical plus minus, sort of on the same scale as box plus minus or Jacob's PIPM. They've been guys like Ben McLemore, which is sort of a surprising under the radar name, but Darko thinks there's been a lot of he's really, really improved this year too. Having become a pretty solidly above average player, he grades out at plus 1.5, which is that's a healthy player who belongs in the rotation for a good team. Yeah. Obviously Kendrick Nunn, who he pops up. Luca, that's sort of an obvious one. Duncan Robinson, Darko really likes actually. Again, it really values that high volume 3-point shooting, and so he really stands out there.
Interesting. And I guess one possible oversight, just based off of the type of data that you're feeding into the model, is not quite understanding where those shots are coming from in terms of play type usage, or this was a very contested three versus an open three, or this person is finishing a lot of shots versus being a self-creator. Are you able to feed any of that data into it in any way? I know at Basketball Index, we like to use these different offensive role categories or labels for players to show that, okay, this guy is a primary creator, uses a lot of pick and roll and ISO, versus this player is a movement wing, like a JJ Redick type, a Kyle Korver type, a Joe Harris type. I would assume that type of info could be interesting. But is that the sort of info that is fed or is able to be fed into something like Darko?
So I'm in the process of building out, adding in essentially the data that's available from stats.nba.com's tracking data. So that'll include stuff like contested 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. And I'll also have individual shot locations, so it's going to have, how do guys shoot from, 24 feet versus, 28 feet, not just group all 3-point percentages together. And that sort of data feeds in very, very smoothly into Darko. Provided any kind of data set is available on a game by game level, Darko can sort of ingest it and feed it into the rest of the model. And everything sort of fits in very easily, which is one of the benefits of machine learning, that it sort of learns what relationships exist in the data on its own.
Right. Yeah. Very, very hands off once you're able to get it set up and running. That's yeah. a really big pro, as somebody who's working with a lot of data, and some things are still unfortunately manual, needing to update or pay somebody to update, having it automated like that, it has to be fantastic.
Yeah, so, I mean, it takes a long time to fit the model, to get it up and running for this season. I had to leave my computer running for about 9 days uninterrupted. It's like a big desktop. It was my power bill that month was pretty heavy. Wow. You get a smooth pipeline up and running eventually.
Jeez, I don't think I've ever heard of anything like that. I certainly don't talk to a lot of people building stuff like this, but 9 days, wow. So I guess one thing that I want to make sure people understand is when they go into look at the data or look at the data visualizations, what are they able to see in there, and how would you advise that they use that, or what are some of the ways you see people using that information? I know on the Shiny app that's built, there are like daily fantasy projections. What are some of the best uses you've seen for this data so far?
Yeah, so the daily fantasy projections are up there. You know, this is I'm not heavily into daily fantasy, and I don't know all the ins and outs there, but Darko is a box score projection system, and daily fantasy is essentially all about your box score stats, so it's a pretty natural fit. So I do put up, I think, the top 50 lineups for that day's DraftKings contest using Darko. And that's sort of a toy. I'm not actually entering contests using it. But I have done a little bit of testing to see how those projections do against a couple daily fantasy sites, and that was one of the validations for me that Darko was really onto something. It had very, very strong performance relative to paid daily fantasy projections that a couple sites are selling. The other thing, you can see the projections for each player for who's playing that day, and that'll translate not just into a three-point percentage, but actually a projection for how many minutes Darko expects them to play. You know, how many points are they gonna put up? So if you're just interested in like, hey, who's gonna be the leading scorer tonight, stuff like that, you can really take a look at that. And the final tool that I sort of is probably my favorite tool is the on the Shiny app, there's a tab called comparison charts, and you can see a player's career projection mapped against a couple other players to see like, hey, how does Luka's career trajectory compare to like LeBron's? Is he on pace for that same kind of explosion? The answer is yes, and you can really see it on a game by game level to see like, here after 100 games, where's Luka, and you can see where LeBron continued on, after 200 games, 300 games, 500 games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one really interesting thing. Instead of just looking at here's what these guys have done at age 22 or 23 or whatever it is, you can look and see exactly where LeBron was at 150 games into his career and compare that to anybody else. So that, I think that's really interesting. I'm assuming you have former players in there as well.
So I think right now on the Shiny app, we actually only have active players. This is due to file size reasons. It's about 800,000 rows of data. But Andrew and I are working to get everything up there. I project every player who's played a game since 1998 every day, including retired guys, but I don't think they're currently on the Shiny app itself.
Okay. Gotcha. I'll be checking that out. It's so interesting to see the different players and look at so many different variables. So you've got the three-point percentage, free throw percentage, the on-off, that box rating value that you've come up with. This is one of the things that I can just be lost in for a while. Can you talk to the listeners about, in those comparison charts, you have the trend option, and then you also have the derivative option. So for those of us who haven't been in Calc for a little bit, talk to us about what we can see from that chart option to look at the derivative values.
Yeah, so the derivative was an idea that Andrew Patton came up with. It's not something I'd looked at, but he's got a great eye for these sorts of visualizations, and he naturally realized that, you know, you've got a game by game projection for every player for what their talent is. Why not take a look at the derivative? And the derivative is showing you the rate of change. So what that tells you is, it tells you, is the player improving or not over their career, and where are they in their course of improvement? So typically most players will start out with a very high improvement rate. When you come in the league, you're getting better pretty rapidly. There's a big rookie acclimation. You improve day by day. And then eventually, players start to decrease their rate of improvement and eventually even decline. So if you look at that derivative chart, so long as a player's derivative, that line is above zero, that means Darko thinks they're still improving. And then once that they cross that zero, that means Darko thinks that there's some kind of decline happening in their career.
Interesting. So I just pulled up Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul, who have both, now they're both in the declining stages of their careers, which makes sense based off of just how old they are and the mileage they have on themselves. This is really interesting stuff. We're gonna get off this podcast and I'm gonna spend the next 2 hours just pulling up every player I know.
The derivative is a lot of fun. That was a really great innovation from Andrew, and it's actually given me, again, credit to Andrew, it's given me some ideas for further research there of plotting out, projecting the derivative itself to really see, Darko is doing a projection for tomorrow's stats. It's really a daily projection system in nature, but by using that derivative, you can really maybe project out to what a player is going to be like in 2 years or 3 years, which is really expands the potential for the system.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's something we've done over at Basketball Index with our talent grades and understanding. We're just looking at age and trying to see, all right, based on your position, is this player's, or I guess at what point is this player's one-on-one ability likely to decline, and what is the rate of that improvement or decline over time? So try to see, which younger guys who have some strengths and weaknesses maybe are most worth investing in based off of their anticipated rates of change for those talent grades, and which older guys may age more gracefully than others. So it's neat to see that same type of approach applied to new and different data. So really excited to see that once that gets going. Are there any other changes or updates or new data you want to feed into it, or new features and new visualizations that you envision Darko taking over the next couple months or years that we should keep an eye out for?
Well, so the next big one, probably my first first, the real improvement is going to be to add in NCAA data and summer league and preseason data to sort of address the Zion Williamson issue, that he doesn't know anything about Zion and it just thinks he's like a random guy. This will help, so rookies will get initialized with their first game, at some kind of reasonable rating. So it understands a little bit of who this guy is. What, should we expect him to be 35% shooter from day one, 30% shooter, those sorts of things. And that should be a big a model improvement, both for the rookies, but also actually for everyone else, because it doesn't have, the other players, the veterans won't be weighed down by the rookies' expectations. So that's one thing that I'm going to be looking to add. And once I build that out, I'll actually be able to, have college Darko, essentially all of these same stats, tell you, what college players are, players who are still in college, can be expected to shoot, to see how their own 3-point percentage is improving even while they're in school.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's exciting stuff. Can't wait to see once that's put together. Really, really good stuff, Kosta. Because I'm sure the big question for everybody now is, this is awesome. Where can I find it? Where should people go to see, to find you, follow your work and be able to go in and play around with what Darko has to offer?
Yeah. So, I am at KMedved, on, Twitter, and, Darko app, is linked in my bio. I can read off the URL. I don't know if that makes for very good podcasting.
That may not. I can put it in the podcast description.
Yeah, there's a Darko app which has all the amazing visualizations that Andrew put together, and there is also a Google Sheets link available, which I think is also linked in my bio and that has a little bit more data. It's not quite as elegant; it's a little more clunky, but it just has. Sort of the whole Darko output, and that one I update 10-12 times a day for those of you who are interested in daily fantasy, because I ingest data about this player is a game time decision, and as new injury data comes in, it updates the daily projections and changes every player's minutes projections and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Really good stuff. Thank you, Costa, for joining us. I think I've gotten through all my questions. I'm going to hop off and go play around with the app. Thanks again for joining us. Everybody, this has been the B-Ball Index podcast. Go follow Costa. You can find the site over on Twitter at the_B-Ball_Index. You can find me at Twitter. Just Google Cranges McBasketball or just find my handle. It's Tim_MBA. We're going to keep the great guests coming, and really excited to follow Costa's work as he keeps adding on to this beautiful monster that he's created. And I just love the idea of something being built that is ingesting information and learning all of those different relationships and what matters, what doesn't matter, how are things going to change. So thank you again, Costa, for joining us. Thank you to the listeners. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.